Welcome to The Commentaries, a podcast series from TAN in which you'll learn how to read and understand history's greatest Catholic works from today's greatest Catholic scholars. In every series of The Commentaries, your expert host will be your personal guide to not just read the book, but to live the book, shining the light of its eternal truths into our modern darkness. Visit tancommentaries.com to get your copy of the book and to subscribe for access to all the great reading plans, new episodes, bonus content, and exclusive deals for listeners of The Commentaries.
Hello, I'm Father Robert Nixon, and this is the commentary series on Abandonment to Divine Providence by Jean-Pierre de Cussade. And today is day 6 in our series of podcasts. We're going to be looking at Book 1, Chapter 2, Sections 3 through to 5. And these are exciting sections. But before we get into that, I think we should begin with a prayer calling upon the aid and the grace of God to guide us and open our hearts. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, at every minute of existence, you gift us with access to the wonderful treasury of your own divine will, and unite us fully with that will through our obedience to you. Let us lovingly obey you, let us submit ourselves entirely to you, and let us abandon ourselves wholeheartedly to the wonders of your divine providence. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. So in section 3 of chapter 2 of book 1, he begins with talking about the will of God and how to discover what the will of God is. Now, he's previously talked about how the will of God is truly active in every moment and circumstance of our life, and we can perceive this only through the eyes of faith. He says if we understand how to see in each moment some manifestation of the will of God, we should find therein also all that our hearts could desire. In fact, there could be nothing more reasonable, more perfect, more divine than the will of God. Can any change of time, place, or circumstance alter or increase its infinite value? If you possess the secret of discovering it at every moment and in everything, then you possess all that is most precious and the most perfect, most worthy to be desired. What is it that you desire, you who aim at perfection? Give yourself full scope. Your wishes need have no measure, no limit. However much you may desire, I can show you how to attain it, even though it be infinite. There is never a moment in which I cannot enable you to obtain all that you desire. The present is ever filled with infinite treasure. It contains more than you have the capacity to hold. Faith is the measure. Believe, and it will be done to you accordingly. Now, this is quite a wondrous thing. When he says how to discover what the will of God, he doesn't mean discover in the sense of find out what the will of God is, but rather to experience the will of God, to uncover. This is a slightly, you know, mildly archaic form of translation of this particular thing. So discover in this sense means to reveal or to experience face to face. And he promises us that all of our desires, our desire which is ultimately for the infinite, will be fulfilled in encountering this will of God. And you wonder, how can that be? Well, if you think about it, the will of God is in itself infinite. It is boundless. It is also beautiful, rich, kind, and so forth. So when we encounter the will of God, we literally have everything that our hearts could desire. The problem is, though, that although this will of God is present to us always, we don't always discover it or reveal it. We don't always recognize it as being there. But if we do, then we have uncovered this key to spiritual happiness, to sanctification. And he tells us that the will of God is at each moment before us, like an immense, inexhaustible ocean that no human heart can fathom. But none can receive from it more than he has the capacity to contain. It is necessary to enlarge this capacity by faith, confidence, and love. So that we're continually being gifted with this wonderful will of God. And it's only our own capacity that we need to continue to increase. And we can increase it by building up our faith, by building up our confidence and our love. And these things take their fullest expression in a wholehearted abandonment of self. And he talks about how we can cast aside the obstacles to this abandoning of self. He tells us that we need to destroy the idols of the senses. And they will rebel and lament, but faith will triumph, because the will of God is indestructible. When the senses are terrified or famished, despoiled or crushed, then it is that faith is nourished, enriched and enlivened. Faith laughs at these calamities as a governor of an impregnable fortress laughs at the useless attacks of an impotent foe. So he's talking here about the need to restrain and discipline the senses. So it's the senses which cause us to place too much emphasis on the appearances, on what we see rather than on the true essence, which of course is the will of God. So by deliberately restraining the senses, and he uses quite strong language here, he says destroy the idols of the senses. Well, we perhaps could, in contemporary language, we'd perhaps use slightly more moderate language, but it's still the same principle of conquering the dominance of the senses. If you think about what a human being is, it's a soul which is controlling a body. It's not a body which is controlling the soul. And often we let our physical senses get the upper hand. And we need to bring that into line, into its proper hierarchy, if we are able to see things with this clarifying perception of faith. In the next section, he talks about the revelations of God. And this is very interesting. He tells us that God reveals himself to us in as a mysterious manner, in the most ordinary circumstances, and as truly and adorably as in the great events of history or of Holy Scripture. And he says, the written word of God is full of mystery, but no less so his word fulfilled in the events of the world. These are two sealed books, and both of it can be said that the letter kills. God is the center of faith. All that emanates from this center is hidden in the deepest mystery. The word and these events are, so to say, but feeble rays of sun obscured by the cloud. Well, here he compares the events which we experience in the world with the words of Holy Scripture, both of which are revelations of God, but mysterious revelations of God. And something he emphasizes is that, you know, we read Scripture and we can't hope to understand everything that it's saying, because by its very nature, it's a kind of hidden revelation. But the same applies no less to the events of our daily life. So it's a principle that God reveals himself in several ways. Firstly, there's through Holy Scripture, of course. Then there's also through the events of history. And then there are the events of our daily life. And we shouldn't doubt that God is, in fact, revealing himself even through the smallest and most apparently mundane events of our life. But interpreting them can be a challenge, because it's a revelation which is hidden, which is mysterious. And he talks about the Holy Scriptures, that some people kind of almost fall into idolatry of the Scriptures, that they regard them as being the exclusive revelation of God, or they regard them as containing the full truth of God. But of course, scripture doesn't contain the full and complete truth of God. It's also supported by the revelation through creation, the revelation through the person of Jesus Christ, which of course is the one perfect revelation, and through the events of our daily life. So God continues to speak to us through everything that happens, but we need to be attentive and we need to interpret these things wisely. In section 5, he speaks about the action of Jesus Christ in the souls of men. And he says, the divine action continues to write in the hearts of men the work begun by the Holy Scriptures. But the characters made use of in this writing will not be visible till the day of judgment. So he's saying that God continues to speak to us, that Jesus is active within our own souls, but that we can't fully understand what it is that he is revealing. And he says that the Holy Spirit has pointed out in infallible and incontestable characters some moments in that ocean of time in the sacred scriptures. In them we see by what secret and mysterious ways he has brought Jesus before the world. Amidst the confusion of the races of men can be distinguished the origin, race, and genealogy of this, the firstborn. The whole of the Old Testament is but an outline of the profound mystery of this divine work. It contains only what is necessary to relate concerning the advent of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit has kept all the rest hidden among the treasures of his hidden wisdom. From this ocean of the divine activity, he only allows a tiny stream to escape, and this stream, having gained its way to Jesus, is lost in the apostles and has been engulfed in the apocalypse, so that the history of this divine activity, consisting of the life of Jesus in the souls of the just till the end of time, can only be divined by faith. So he's telling us that scriptures reveal to us only a very small fraction of the totality of the divine plan. And of course, this is obvious if you think about it. The Old Testament doesn't tell us everything about history until the time of Jesus Christ. It only tells us what's strictly necessary to put Christ into context. And then the same with the writings of the apostles leading through to the apocalypse. We have the whole picture there, but not the picture in its totality. And he reminds us that this is still a work in progress, that the story of the revelation of God's will is continuing to unfold. He says, O great history, grand book written by the Holy Spirit in this present time, it is still in the press. There is never a day when the type is not arranged, when the ink is not applied, or the pages are not primed. We are still in the dark night of faith. The paper is blacker than the ink, and there is great confusion in the type. It is written in the characters of another world, and there is no understanding of it except in heaven. If we could see the life of God and behold all creatures, not as they are in themselves, but as they exist in their first cause. And if again we could see the life of God in all his creatures and could understand how the divine action animates them and impels them to press forward by different means to the same goal, we should then realize that all has a meaning, a measure, a connection in this divine work. So I think this is a wonderful metaphor that the story of our salvation continues to be written in the paper and the ink of our daily life as it unfolds. But it's written in such a way that we can't actually comprehend or read it, so that it's this mysterious unfolding which we witness and which we participate in that we can't fully understand. And this is where this resolution of abandonment, of surrender to the mystery that we can't grasp, is so very, very important. And by having this confidence that Jesus is continuing to work through our souls, through our lives, in every step leading us towards our ultimate salvation and eternal glory. And if we can do that, our life will be so much more joy-filled, so much more peaceful, and so much more strong in our faith. And this brings us to the end of day 6 of our study of abandonment to divine providence. Thank you so much for listening and for joining me in this journey into the depths of the life of the soul. So in our next episode, we'll be continuing with Book 1, Chapter 2, moving on to Sections 6 through to 8. Until then, may Almighty God bless you very abundantly. Goodbye.
This has been an episode of The Commentaries, a podcast brought to you by Tan. To follow the show, study more of the greatest Catholic classics, and to support the commentaries and other great free content from Tan, visit tancommentaries.com to subscribe and use coupon code COM25 to get 25% off your next order, including Abandonment to Divine Providence and countless more spiritual works to deepen your interior life and guide you to heaven.